The House, please come to order. Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will clerk please take the roll?
37 members present.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No one is excused from the call of the House today.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by Reverend Arthur Knight, Douglas Community United Methodist Church.
Lord, we are many peoples in this great land. We are children of those who were here from time before memory, immigrants and children of immigrants from literally every corner of the world. We are peoples of the sea, of mountains, of the great rolling interior, and of the tundra. We are fisherfolk and hunters, drillers for oil and miners for gold, financiers and sellers of hot dogs. We have asked these 40 men and women to represent us in legislative assembly, to carry for us the banners of our backgrounds, our interests, and our needs. It is a demanding, sometimes impossible task we have given them, but one that must be done if we are to remain a state and a nation. So we pray now that you will be with this House and its members. Help them to do with faithfulness and honesty the things that are needed, and crown their efforts with blessing for all Alaskans. Amen.
Representative Winty.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a delicatessen owner and seller of hot dogs, I'd ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will clerk please certify the journal for the 148th legislative day?
For the chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 148th day.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 148th day be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
Is your objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction? Messages from the governor.
Message dated June 13, 1983 was received, stating the governor has signed the following bill and is transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Committee substitute for House Bill number 195, Judiciary, an act permitting transfer of forfeited aircraft to the Alaska Wing Civil Air Patrol, Chapter 18, SLA 1983. Message dated June 13, 1983, stating the governor has signed the following bill and is transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 136, Resources, effective date added, an act relating to the operation of stationary fishing gear and providing for an effective date, Chapter 19, SLA 1983. I have no further messages, Mr. Speaker.
Message from the Senate.
Message dated June 13, 1983 was received stating the Senate has concurred in the amendment to Senate Bill number 97, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 97, Hess, making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for payment as a grant to Bethel Social Services, Inc., effective date. Message dated June 13th was received stating the Senate has concurred in the House amendment to Senate Bill number 190, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 190, Finance, making special appropriations for payment as grants for the Wrangell Totem Poles and Chief Shakes Island Preservation and Restoration Project and for the Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation Language and Cultural Studies Program, effective date. Message dated June 13, 1983 was received stating the Senate has passed House Bill number 274, Regulation of Public Utilities, effective date, with a Senate letter of intent, and it is returned. Message dated June 13, 1983 was received stating the Senate has passed House Concurrent Resolution number 2, travel by senior citizens aboard vessels of the state marine highway system with following amendment. Senate Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution number 2, State Affairs, travel by senior citizens and handicapped persons aboard vessels of the state marine highway system with Senate letter of intent. Message dated June 13, 1983 was received stating the Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill number 281, Labor and Commerce, relating to the payment of wages with the following amendment. Page 1, line 21, delete to which he, insert that the employee, after entitled, insert to. Page 1, line 25, delete his, insert the. And so committee substitute for House Bill number 281, Labor and Commerce, amended Senate, is returned for consideration. Message dated June 13, 1983 was received stating the Senate has passed committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 381, Resources, relating to wholesale prices for salmon, effective date with following amendment. Page 4, line 10, after information, insert, including the consideration of various types and amounts of discounts allowed in the calculation of wholesale prices. And so committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 381, Resources, amended Senate, is returned for consideration. Message dated June 13, 1983 was read, received stating the Senate approved the following citations and is transmitting the same for consideration. Honoring International Organization of Masters, Mates, and Pilots and Inland Boatmen's Union by Senators Ziegler, Ray, Cortula, B. Fisher, and Moss. Honoring Mark Levitt by Senators Gilman and P. Fisher. Message dated June 13th was received stating the Senate has passed committee substitute for Senate Bill number 156. And it is transmitted for consideration. An act relating to the sale, lease, or grant of state hatchery facilities.
The Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 156 is referred to the Finance Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
No communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees?
I have no reports of standing committees, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No reports of special committees, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation in memoriam Evelyn M. Reddig by Representative Hayes. I have no further introduction of citations.
Introduction, first reading, and reference to House bills.
House Bill number 439 by Vasca. An act prohibiting the Board of Regents from establishing a right of tenure in university and community college professors.
House Bill 439 is referred to the Health, Education, and Social Services and Finance Committees.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill 53 by Senators Mulcahy and Kelly, an act authorizing municipalities to exempt business inventories from taxation and providing for an effective date. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee had Senate Bill 53 under consideration and recommended it do pass, and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Representative Locker, Chairman. Representative Locker, Tischer, Szymanski, and McBride signed do pass. Clarkson has no recommendation. The Finance Committee had Senate Bill 53 under consideration, recommends do pass, and endorses two letters of intent, the Community and Regional Affairs and the Senate letter of intent. The report was signed by Representative Adams, Chairman, signing do pass. Pestinger, Duncan, Ward, Zhuroff, Grusendorf, Martin, and Adams.
Clerk, have amendments?
I have no amendments, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 53 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Senate Bill 53 by Mulcahy and Kelly, an act authorizing municipalities to exempt business inventories from taxation and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Are you ready, Representative Miller?
Just a question, Mr. Speaker. As you know, when under the present setup for taxes, we share revenues with municipalities based on their own efforts to raise taxes in their community. It's based on a not too complicated formula in which the taxing capacity of the city is established, and then their percentage, their track record in relation to that taxing capacity is part of the formula. Is the exempting of these inventories from taxation, if a municipality decides to exempt business inventories from taxation, are they going to be jeopardizing any part of their municipal entitlements, I guess is the question I would have.
Representative Adams?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On that, most the Alaska Municipal League and Finance testified that the The business inventory property tax is merely a nuisance tax. It's a hassle for both the business person and a local official. Without enough money to changing hands to be worth it, the effort, so it's just a small amount of money. And also the two letters of intent that the loss in the small amount of local revenue be not replaced by additional state funds to local government. So it's just a it's really a hassle in municipalities.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Zaroff?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It would be best to keep in mind also that this is strictly an optional item by the municipalities. They do not have to do this.
Zaroff?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was wondering if the Finance Chairman could possibly tell me what the fiscal impact of this bill is then expected to be.
Representative Adams?
Thank you. With state funds, it's a zero fiscal impact to the state of Alaska.
President Gar?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm sorry. I meant whether any studies had been done to see what the loss to the municipalities would be.
Representative Adams?
That's a local government issue. It's not a state function at this particular time.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Senate Bill 53 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may Representative Gall? Representative Gall from no to yes. Clerk, may take the roll.
38 yeas, 2 nays.
Senate Bill 53 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage of Senate Bill 53 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Clarkson? House, please stand at ease. Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, there are two letters of intent with Senate Bill 53, and I'm going to move that we adopt the Senate letter of intent and that it's clearly shown that it is also the House's intent that we adopt that letter of intent. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate letter of intent for Senate Bill 53 be adopted and that that it be reflected that it is also the House letter of intent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Senate Bill 54 by Ziegler by request, entitled An Act Relating to the Contents of the Election Pamphlet. The State Affairs Committee considers Senate Bill 54 and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Representative Abood, Chairman, signing do pass, Abood, Furness, Larson, Vasca, Schultz, and Cowdery. M.M. Miller has no recommendation. I have no committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, please read any amendments.
Amendment number one by Tischer, page 1, lines 14 through 15. Delete existing material and insert the following. B. Statements not to exceed 500 words that advocate voter approval or rejection of the question.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection?
Objection. Only for information. Is it really a grammatical thing?
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, it better describes what the intent of the language is. It has no verbiage change outside of the fact that we're moving the words, the phrase exceeding 500 words closer to the word statements to identify that it should be 500 word statement rather than a question on the ballot. Thank you.
Is there further objection to the adoption of amendment number one? Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A point of parliamentary procedure. Before we go any further, perhaps we should change the number of the bill on the board.
Is there further objection to the motion to adopt amendment number one? Hearing none, amendment number one is adopted. Does the clerk have further amendments?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 54 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none so ordered, will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Senate Bill 54 by Ziegler by request, entitled an act relating to the contents of the election pamphlet.
Is there debate?
Question.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 54, amended House, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
40 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 54, amended House, has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 124, Rules, by the Rules Committee, entitled an act amending the Alaska Agricultural Loan Act, AS-0310, and providing for an effective date. The House Special Committee on State Loans has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 124, Rules, under consideration and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Representative Ewling, Chairman, signing do pass Ward, Furness, and Wente. Ewling has no recommendation. Finance Committee has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 124, Rules, under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Representative Adams, Chairman, signing do pass Adams, Duncan, Ward, Hurlburt, Jaroff, Grusendorf, and Bettisworth. Lindauer, Pestinger, Martin, and Abood have no recommendation. I have no committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for Senate Bill 124, Rules, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none so ordered, will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 124, Rules, by the Rules Committee, entitled an act amending the Alaska Agricultural Loan Act, AS-310, and providing for an effective date.
The debate? Representative Pestinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm sure that I want to vote for this bill, but I just remember the excellent soil that we have in the Matanuska Valley and the excellent soil that we have in the Tanana Valley, and I'm looking here that we're increasing this $200,000 to $350,000 in the event that the governor declares that a state of natural disaster causes a crop failure, and I'm just wondering that if things like frost or floods or low temperature would cause natural disasters. I'm just wondering if this is directed from my old buddy, the representative from Glen Allen, who formerly is from Nebraska and I hail from Kansas. I'm just wondering that if this Senate bill is targeted for the Delta, and I'm just wondering how we're doing out there, Delta, and I'm just wondering if this $150,000 extra is just kind of to help the boys roll some extra money in there when they need it. How are we doing down in Delta?
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I'm not a farmer at all, but I do represent a farming area. To my knowledge, no, there's no problem with the crops in the past. They've done a good job of growing the barley in Delta, and they don't anticipate any natural disasters in the Delta area, nor do they anticipate them statewide, I'm sure. If I may, while I'm here, Section 1 puts a 7-year cap on the chattel loans, which may, by current statutes, go up to 30 years. The Ag Revolving Loan Officers normally do not make loans longer than the life of the chattel, which is considered to be 7 years. So this would change that current statute. Section 2 increases a maximum amount, again, as referred to from the representative from Anchorage, from a short-term 1-year payback basis from $200,000 to $350,000. If the borrower in an area declared a farm disaster, it has to be declared by the governor. And Section 3 provides a mechanism for the governor to declare a farm disaster where nature causes a crop failure. Section 4 provides for an immediate effective date, and there's no physical impact to this bill. It merely rearranges the borrowing methods now available to the farmers. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Locker?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to say that this bill was introduced at the request of the Delta farmers. They apparently do have a crop failure and can have and judge that it probably comes every 5 years, but I would like to state that the representative from the Matsu Borough is going to vote yes, and we fully support farming as an industry in this state, even in Delta.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 124 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
31 yeas, 9 nays.
The Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 124 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage committee substitute for Senate Bill 124 rules be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill number 182 by Josephson, entitled An Act Relating to Elevator Safety Standards. The Labor and Commerce Committee has had Senate Bill 182 under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Representative Furness, Chairman, signing due pass, Ringstad, Cowdery, Wheeling, Kopanen, Malone, and Furness. Wente has no recommendation. I have no committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 182 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Senate Bill number 182 by Josephson, entitled An Act Relating to Elevator Safety Standards.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 182 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
40 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 182 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar? In anticipation of dealing with the citations that are on the back of today's calendar, if you'd look those over and indicate to the clerk on the green slips if you'd like to be a co-sponsor between now and then, I'm going to ask the clerk majority leader to move all the citations in one motion. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 10 by Fritz, Szymanski, and Barnes, titled Relating to Access to Whittier, Alaska. State Affairs Committee had House Concurrent Resolution Number 10 under consideration, recommends it do pass, and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Representative Abood, Chairman, signing due pass, Schultz, Cowdery, Furness, and Abood. Larson has no recommendation. Transportation Committee has had House Concurrent Resolution Number 10 under consideration and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 10, Transportation, same title. The report was signed by Representative Cato, Chairman, signing due pass, Herman, M.W. Miller, Szymanski, Locker, Phillips, and Cato. Abood had no recommendation. The Finance Committee has had House Concurrent Resolution Number 10 under consideration and recommends it be replaced with Transportation Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 10 and attaches a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Representative Adams, Chairman, signing due pass, Festinger, Duncan, Ward, Hurlburt, Jaroff, Rusendorf, Martin, Adams, and Bettisworth. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute transportation for House Concurrent Resolution 10 be adopted in lieu of the original resolution.
Is there objection? Representative Lindar?
Mr. Speaker, I have a substantial property interest in Whittier, and I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from this vote.
There is objection. Is there any objection to the adoption of the Transportation Committee substitute in lieu of the original House concurrent resolution? Hearing none, so ordered. Is there debate? Representative Fritz?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to say a word in favor of this. Whittier is a beautiful place, and it's on the shores of an even more wonderful aspect for recreation and education and improvement of one's mind. And as the population of the Anchorage Bowl increases, recreational facilities have to be made more accessible. And by completing a study between the department, a consultation between the Department of Transportation and the Alaska Railroad, perhaps in the near future we'll be able to have greater and easier and more pleasant access and more reliable access to Whittier from the Anchorage area than we have now. Also, the development of such a facility would take pressure off the part of the Alaska that I represent, that the senior representative from Kenai Peninsula and I represent, because on the Memorial Day weekend alone, in a place called Deep Creek, there were over 1,500 vehicles, and the person in charge of parks assured me that there were over 4,500 people in that small area alone. And anything that would relieve the pressure on our part of the state and still allow recreational facilities to be improved for the people in the Anchorage area, I think should be favorably considered. I'm in favor of this resolution.
Further debate? Representative Flood?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Through the chair, I'd like to know where the money is coming from. Can one of the sponsors give us that information, or perhaps the finance chairman?
Representative Pestinger?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, would like to speak in favor of this resolution. Having used this wonderful area, I think it's an excellent opportunity for tourism and recreation and is a very positive use for this very beautiful area. And I hope that we vote for this resolution.
We have a question regarding the financial aspects of the resolution. Representative Szymanski?
The fiscal note is $250,000 to complete the preliminary design for the one-way traffic, and that's what it was, and I assume that's what it passed out of finance at.
Representative Davis?
Yeah, through the chair, I was just curious if there's at least a ballpark figure what the cost would be to complete this once the preliminary design is in. Does anyone have that figure?
Representative Adams?
Thank you. That is correct. There was a $250,000 fiscal note. It depends if you wanted to have a one-way road there, or are we talking about a two-way joint use? The Whittier Transportation Options Study estimated that approximately $37 million to do it, and if that's on a one-way. If you want a two-way, that also study estimates approximately $65 million to do it. So that's the figures we have from DOT.
Representative Locker?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm looking at a fiscal note, and it says one-way joint use would be $77,220,000, and two-way joint use would be $135,300,000. This is dated 3/4/83.
Representative Adams?
Yes. The figures that she's using would be in the summer of 1987, using the inflated cost at that particular year, if you're going to do it 3 years from now.
Representative Malone?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker, I'm a little surprised at the numbers related by the finance chairman. Why is the ballpark estimate so high?
Representative Adams?
I can't reply to that question, but I imagine any time you give it to a state agency and state government, we need to cut that back a little bit. They give high estimates.
Representative Szymanski?
Figures that they've come up with, as best my understanding, are relatively conservative figures, and I think they're based on putting a minimal one-way access road in there, which will primarily line around the existing roadbed. It would appear right now that ventilation and other characteristics associated with the tunnel are going to substantially reduce the project from what it was originally estimated at years ago. And I think that that's one of the reasons why you see the lower figure.
Representative Flood?
My question still went unanswered, Mr. Speaker. I'm referring to the $250,000, I guess it is, for the feasibility study. Can you tell me where that figure is coming from, that amount?
Representative Adams?
That's coming out of the general budget there. It's under the capital $250,000, but it is attached in the fiscal notes on that one.
Representative Kopanen?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Is this intended to be a year-round road? As I understand it, the Whittier Tunnel has doors to prevent glaciering of the water that comes off the tunnel walls. If the road is used year-round, you'll have to have some sort of doorman there to open the doors for the passage of automobiles during the winter season.
Representative Tischer?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For those of who have never been to Whittier, I'd like to explain that we're talking about a tunnel that is used year-round by the Alaska Railroad. And if the Alaska Railroad requires doormen to let the door open and close, then perhaps it won't be any more difficult for the cars to have the same doorman.
Representative Adams?
One more question. The representative from, I don't know what district, but his question on the fiscal note. The fiscal note then also will be attached in conference committee with all fiscal notes, and it'll show this one if it does pass the Senate, but we will be listing all the fiscal notes in the conference committee on the budget.
Representative Pesninger? No, excuse me, Representative Malone.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I was going to ask for a brief at ease, please.
House, please stand at ease. Representative Malone?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, the resolution just calls for a study and an analysis of the Whittier access. I think that's probably a good idea. I just want to say that in supporting the resolution, I don't want anybody to think that I'm supporting a $65 or $100 million Whittier access project, because frankly, I don't think I could support that. And I would hope in the development of the study that the DOT is able to find some lower cost alternatives for the use of the tunnel.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Transportation Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 10 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
36 yeas, 3 nays.
The Transportation Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 10 has passed the House. Representative Barnes, if you'll move the citation on today's calendar. Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that the all the members of the House be shown as sponsoring the citation honoring Jennifer Smith, who is the new Miss Alaska for 1983.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations appearing on today's calendar be adopted.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citations appearing on today's calendar are approved. This brings us to the end of today's calendar and to unfinished business. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Flindar be excused from the call of the House on June 17, 1983, and that Representative Furness be excused from the call of the House Wednesday after 4 p.m., the 15th, and Thursday, the 16th, and I have excused him previously on other days. Thank you.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the representatives are excused as requested. Representative Barnes?
Mr. Speaker, is it your pleasure that I deal with the limbo file at this time?
Yes, Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The first bill that I will deal with today is one that is left over from tomorrow, or excuse me, from yesterday. Yeah. Well, nothing like being one day ahead of yourself. Mr. Speaker, the first bill today is House Bill 251. So at this time, I move and ask unanimous consent the House concur in the Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 251 rules, amended Senate, and I would recommend the members vote no.
The clerk, please read the bill.
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 251, Rules Amended Senate by the Rules Committee, entitled An Act Relating to State Support for Education and Providing for an Effective Date.
Representative Davis?
Yes, could we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House approve Senate amendments to the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee substitute for House Bill 251, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 251, Rules Amended Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
16 yeas, 24 nays.
The House has failed to concur in the Senate amendments to the HES Committee substitute for House Bill 251. This time, I'm going to appoint a conference committee consisting of Representative Tischer, Chairman, Representative Ward, and Representative Larson. Under unfinished business, there are four bills that we presently have in committees in this body that I need to add a finance referral, to which I need to add a finance referral. Senate Bill 79, a bill dealing with toxic and hazardous substances in the workplace, presently has a Labor and Commerce and Resources Committee referral. It does have a fiscal note. So at this time, I'm going to add a Finance Committee referral. House Bill.
Mr. Speaker, go ahead and refer these, please.
House, please stand at ease. Also, there are three bills that are presently in Resources dealing with the sale of royalty oil. They're presently in Resources. House Bill 320, royalty oil sale, State of Alaska to Tesoro Petro Company. House Bill 370, the sale of royalty oil to the Chevron USA Company. House Bill 371, sale of royalty oil to the Tesoro Alaska Petro Company. I want to add a Finance Committee referral to each of those three bills. House Bill 320, 370, and 371. Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask for unanimous consent that the House Labor and Commerce be permitted to waive Senate Bill 79 that has to do with toxic waste substance. The reason, Mr. Speaker, is very briefly, the House Bill 187 is identical to the Senate bill, and we had completed the deliberation on that bill. It doesn't make sense to go back through Labor and Commerce at this time.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Labor and Commerce Committee referral is waived. Further unfinished business to come before the body. Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to bring up my notice of reconsideration for committee substitute for House Bill 376 Resources this time.
Will the clerk please read the bill?
committee substitute for House Bill number 376, Resources, by the Resources Committee, entitled An Act Amending the Limited Entry Act, Providing for Landing Permits and Providing for an Effective Date.
There is an amendment on the clerk's desk, amendment number one. Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number one by Zharoff, page 3, line 25. It's on your desks, I believe, but I'll read it.
Yes, it has been reproduced, and it's on each member's desk. Representative Zharoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that we turn to second reading for a specific purpose of adoption of an amendment.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Resources Committee substitute for House Bill 376 is returned to second reading for the purpose of adopting a specific amendment, amendment number one. Representative Zharoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have moved the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the amendment is adopted. Do you wish to object? There is objection. Representative Herman.
I just want it clarified in here on page 3, Mr. Speaker. It says, beginning at line 25, delete the inserted and bracketed languages and insert instead, and then it goes on. I would like it clarified that after permit, delete the inserted and bracketed languages and insert.
Representative Zharoff, can you clarify that, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. That is the intent. When we drafted the amendment, it was to begin line page 3, line 25, beginning after the word permit, and then insert the remainder of the language.
Representative Herman, do you remove your objection to the adoption of amendment number one?
I remove my objection, Mr. Speaker.
Is there any further objection to the adoption of amendment number one? Hearing none, amendment number one is adopted. This brings the bill be back before us in third reading under reconsideration. Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Resources Committee substitute for House Bill 376, amended House, which is before us under reconsideration, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
38 yeas, 1 nay.
The Resources Committee substitute for House Bill 376, amended House, has passed the House on reconsideration. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage of Committee substitute for House Bill 376, Resources amended, be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Is there further unfinished business to come before the body? Announcement of committee meetings. Representative Phillips.
Speaker, tomorrow, which is June 15th in the Bells Room at 9 a.m., there will be a Republican Minority Caucus. Meetings completely open to the public.
Further announcements? Special orders? Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the privilege of the floor to speak on corrections.
You have the floor, Representative Ward.
Yes, I'd like to draw to the body's attention that the two nights ago on the 10 o'clock news, which would be 6 o'clock regular, on the state or on the National News Network, I saw the Supreme Court Justice give a presentation about warehousing prisoners and the severe problem that is causing throughout the United States of America. And he had a proposal, and he said that it was time, and I can fully concur in this, and I wanted to share this with the rest of the body, that he thinks that instead of just warehousing prisoners as we've done in the past, that it's time we get into prison industries so that the prisoners would not be such a burden upon the taxpayers, and also so that a rehabilitation program through self-worth would be able to be initiated. For that reason, Mr. Speaker, I've had handed out on everybody's desk, and it's kind of a political type of thing, but it starts to tell us where our next new state prison is going to be located, and it's titled How to Round Up a Special Session. And if that's read through, I think that everybody can see where our next prison is going to be. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further special orders, Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the privilege of the floor to speak about misconceptions about the state of Alaska?
You have the floor, Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Obviously, if you're not from the state of Alaska, there are many chances to misconstrue the kinds of things that are in the state of Alaska. For instance, if you're from the state of Texas, you tend to believe that the largest state in the United States is Texas. However, if you're from Rhode Island, you might think that Rhode Island is the smallest state in the Union. It seems to me that the misconceptions that go about this state continue to go. You read funny little articles that Eskimos still live in igloos. You read that there are no Indians in the state. You read that exploits by different people in the history of the state of Alaska are greatly exaggerated. And I suspect that the article in the Seattle PI is exaggerated to some extent, and I think based on that sense, we should read the article. Thank you.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to ask the permission of the floor to speak on fertility, foolishness, and failure on a fiscal front or effrontery.
You have the floor, Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in recent days, we have noticed a strange quiet in the front corner across the aisle from me on a particular subject. We also note the absence of a once familiar sign, which changed daily and which eventually sported a six-digit figure. Now, I refer, Mr. Speaker, to the daily display and diatribe which we were treated on the subject of the permanent fund dividend, which was described as of such urgency, such urgent interest to Alaskans, that we would surely be held derelict in our duty should we fail to have it sent to Alaskans this year. Now, Mr. Speaker, great wrath and shame would be ours. We were warned if we tried to use that money for any other purpose or to restore it to the fund for its own protection. Now, along with the absences of sight and of that sound, Mr. Speaker, I note increasing news stories recently in the recent times, which tell us that barely half of Alaskans have filed for that great bonanza, with the deadline barely 2 weeks away. Now, perhaps the people have made the truth clear, Mr. Speaker. Perhaps we have been treated to a great deal of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Now we read, Mr. Speaker, that the department plans a promotional campaign to try to get more Alaskans to sign up for the program, apparently in an effort to prove a point which the people pointedly ignore. It would be very interesting, Mr. Speaker, to find out how much that campaign will cost us. And, Mr. Speaker, what if they gave a party and nobody came? Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, interesting point raised by the previous speaker. Some people look at a glass of water and they think it's half full, and others look at a glass of water and think it's half empty. Mr. Speaker, to me it's significant that more than half the people of the state of Alaska, more than half the people of the state of Alaska have filed, at least those eligible, have filed for their permanent fund dividends. I thought maybe the members had sort of lost interest in the daily count, but it's substantial. It's around, I think, around 220,000 by their new method of accounting, which is 100% accurate. They were just estimating when we had it before, and that's one reason I discontinued it. But, Mr. Speaker, in answer to the urgent plea from my colleague from Anchorage, I'm going to resume my policy of announcing what the count is daily on this floor, and in respect to his urgent plea, I'm going to announce on this floor each day what the count is. And to remind this body that more than half the people who are eligible to receive dividends of their money, Mr. Speaker, have applied for their money, and we will be derelict in our duties here if we do not give them their dividends from their resources. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the member from Anchorage for reminding me I've been derelict.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Wednesday, June 15, 1983.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.